existence has story shape to it. Our existence. Eugene Peterson says that we live in narrative. We live in story. And if you just stop and think about it, each one of us has our own story. We have a beginning, an end, and we have plot and characters, so we live in narrative. All of life is a story. And I think one of the most interesting things when I was thinking about this is that story helps us understand our world. Just stop and think about it. All the information that is coming to you, you begin to compartmentalize it and put it in your mind as story. It's what gives facts meaning, is if you have the story. And when you really want to know someone, you say what? Tell me your story, okay? So stories are critical to our lives. And they come in three parts. A situation is set up, then it's upset, and then it's reset. And I think that's true because all of history, all of his story, comes to us as this grand meta-narrative, this great large story. And it is creation, situation is set up, and then it is fall, it's upset, and then it is reset, redemption. So if you see that outline, creation, fall, redemption, you're looking at the grand story, the meta-narrative that we all live in. I love what Jesus says in Matthew 13. He's talking, telling stories, one of those storytelling days, and his disciples say to him, "Why do you tell stories?" And he says, "I tell stories for this reason." He says, "You have been given insight into the kingdom of God and how it works. But they," meaning all the masses, "they're not there yet." He says, "I tell stories to nudge them towards receptivity, to lead them on, to get them receptive to where they can receive greater insight." He says, because this is the Isaiah 6 passage that he quotes. He says, "I don't want it to be that they cannot see and can't hear." And he says, right now, they're not there yet, but I'm telling stories to bring them to that place. That's kind of a grand paraphrase of Eugene Peterson's The Message. But Jesus had a storytelling day, and he was telling them stories to go to their heart. If you stop and think about it, stories are the language of the heart. If you want to touch someone's heart, you go and tell them a story. I love this. Ken Geyer wrote this book called A Reflection on the Movies. And in it, he says that the Bible was written in the Koine Greek, the common language of the everyday people. But the common language for today is film. The medium of the masses is film. And when you stop and think about that, that's so true because everywhere people are talking about the movies. I remember I was reading this book. It was a kind of a political science travel book called Eastward to Tartary, I think, about Kazakhstan and those places. And I'll never forget this one part in the book when they were talking about some guy having a screensaver on his computer, and it was Titanic, the movie Titanic. And you can see how movies are the language that cross all borders and lines, and that's the language people are talking in. And what happens in a movie is that people go into this dark room, and all the diversity, all the different genders, different races, different economic levels, different education levels, all this great diversity comes into this theater, and they, for whatever length of time, suspend everything that they believe in, and they willingly enter in and open up to these images. And they open themselves up, and they become an alliance of sort. They become an audience that comes together and opens themselves up. And that is extremely powerful when we stop and think about it. I have this quote, and I love this. This is from one of Randy's mentors, Daryl Johnson. And listen to what he says about imagery. He says, "Imagery has power to go deeper than mere words. Imagery goes beyond the intellect and through the emotions into the imagination, grabbing hold of us at the deepest recesses of our being. It informs our intellect and ignites our emotions. It changes the way we see, hear, feel reality." Stop and think about that. The images change the way we see, hear, feel reality. And more than mere propositional truth, imagery sustains the new vision of reality. That is really powerful, that these images have that power. What he's saying there is like why John wrote the book of Revelation, why it was given to him in images is because they would need these powerful images to sustain them, to stand. You see, you can endure almost anything if you have meaning and purpose to your whole life. If you have a why for your life, you can take almost any how. But if you don't have a why to your life, you can't stand. And one of the things in our world is that for 1700 or more years, the world had a why. They had meaning and purpose to their world. They lived in a Christocentric world. And so everything had meaning and purpose. A medieval man looked at a lion, and he didn't just see a lion. He looked beyond that and saw the king of beasts, and then he saw the king of kings. So everything in his world was chock full of significance because it represented something. It pointed to something greater than itself. It was a sign pointing to the Creator. And he knew how to read that sign language. But you see, we've lost that. We are on the postmodern side of the modern era. And through the modern era said there is no author to a story. There is no large story. And nothing has significance. Nothing holds together. That's why people are so hungering for some story to get into, because there's no meta-narrative in the postmodern or the modern world.